Last time we were talking about love, love being the power of the cross that destroys the works of the devil. You know, prayer destroys the work of the devil. Prayer can go out ahead and surround a situation, if I could put it like that, as a barrier of protection. Prayer can show your love for someone that you're praying for. Amen. Love is the power of the cross that destroys the work of the devil. And I shared out of 1 John, and you don't have to turn there, the second half of 1 John 3, verse 8 says, "The reason the Son of God was made manifest or visible was to undo, destroy, loosen, and dissolve the works the devil has done." The reason he was made manifest, to undo, destroy, loosen, dissolve the works the devil has done. God's love for us. And I'm going to talk about something a little bit different today, maybe, but some of you that have been going to the end times class, we're going to get into a little bit of that. But his love for the Jews, the Jewish nation, and the Gentiles. Say, "I'm a Gentile." Say, I'm the church. You are the church. We are the church. We are the Gentiles that he is talking about. It was love that sent Jesus to the cross, and it's love that kept him on the cross. Do you know he could have summoned 10,000 angels to come and minister and take him off of that cross? He could have done it, but he didn't, because his love for us, his love for mankind, that love that tears down all the walls, all the barriers. Yes, Angie, even in millennials, love can tear down the walls. Amen? And that love shed abroad in our heart by grace through faith is what can tear down the walls. Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to share a couple of verses. Ephesians chapter 2. So we were talking about the love of God, the love we should have for one another, and how that love empowers us to do mighty things. Ephesians 2, chapter 2. And let me start in verse 4. And I'm going to read out of the King James today. Tim, I'll just switch it up with you. Ephesians 2, verse 4 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved." Rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. What great love? The love that sent Jesus to the cross. Remember we talked about we need to get back to the cross. Everything that we have need of is at the cross. And even, Jerry Savelle stood right here, said he had to start preaching the cross. Get back to preaching the cross. Well, we're going to preach the cross today, but it's going to come from a little different angle. All right? So bear with me. Bear with me. Verse 5, "Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith." We've heard that all our lives. As long as you've been born again, you've probably been hearing that phrase. "By grace are ye saved through faith. And not that of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." I'm laying some foundation here. "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision," or Israel, or the Jews, the Jewish nation, "in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. What is he saying there? We were not part of that original blessing as Gentiles. Israel was God's chosen people, and we had no part in that until we were grafted in to that original olive tree. Grafted in, but it came as a price to the nation of Israel. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. But let me continue here. But now, verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one. Both of who? Both us. Us, the Gentiles and Israel, both one. Both us, the church and the Jewish nation, both one. And hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by what? By the cross. Having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both us, Jews and Gentiles, have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Chapter 3 says, For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. What cause? What cause is he talking about? That we are no more strangers. As born-again believers, as the church, we are no more strangers to God as we were before, as a Gentile. We are no more strangers. And Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles. You know, that's, and I hope you're still in Romans and you're chewing on Romans still. This is the entire book, and we've said it, time and time again, this entire book is truth. This entire book is profitable to you. But as the church, okay, as the church, the Apostle Paul and his epistles speak to us. They speak to us. Not the old covenant, not even the gospels, but the epistles speak to the church specifically. So as the church, the Pauline epistles are really where we need to, really dig in deep. And that's not, I'm not discounting any of the other stuff that is in this wonderful book. But we really need to, when I talk about dig deep and going deeper with God, the Holy Spirit kind of clarified that in me. Because that can be overwhelming. Okay, go deeper. This is a big book. Where do I start? Where do I go? Do I line upon line from the beginning to the end? But he clarified that for me. Dig into the epistles. Dig in. Go deeper with God in the epistles. And see yourself in the epistles. And I'm telling you, it'll help tremendously. Tremendously. So what cause is Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for us? The cause that we are not strangers anymore. Verse 2 says, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward. Paul's talking here. What dispensation of grace? What is he talking about? The time of the church. The time of us. The time of you and me. Verse 3, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. What is this mystery? It's you and me. It's the church. We were the mystery. We were the mystery revealed and revealed through Paul. The church, you and me, we're the mystery. Verse 6 says that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. Fellow heirs with who? With the Jewish nation. Fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Listen, you have to understand what got us to this point to fully appreciate the love of God, I believe. You have to understand a little bit of history to fully appreciate the love of God that we enjoy. That we enjoy as a body of believers, as born-again Christians. We enjoy the love of God, but what got us to this point? It's important to understand, and hopefully I'm going to shed a little bit of light on that this morning. The love of God for all mankind, that not one should perish. You have to understand that Israel is God's time clock. Israel is God's time clock. Israel is God's chosen people, but they transgressed the law that had been put in place, and their punishment was that Jerusalem would be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles. And then in comes King Nebuchadnezzar, who did just that. He trampled the city underfoot. He took the Hebrews captive, brought them back to Babylon. And then the prophet Daniel has a vision. And this vision sets God's time clock in motion. And we need to understand this time clock. Why? I think that it will help us understand and appreciate God's immense and tremendous love for mankind. So here in Daniel chapter 9, I want to read a few verses. Many of you might have heard about the 70 weeks of Daniel. Anybody heard that phrase? 70 weeks of Daniel. The 70 weeks of Daniel. Well, in about 10 minutes, I'm going to encapsulate that. I'm going to give you a summary of it that will hopefully help you better understand. 10 minutes, you're going to get about 10 days of preaching in 10 minutes. Can you handle it? Open up your ears. Holy Spirit, give me ears to hear. So in verse 24 of chapter 9, let me just read, and I'm going to read down to verse 27. This is the prophet Daniel, okay? 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. How many know Daniel was a Hebrew child? 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression. And to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness. These are all key words. There's a lot of stuff packed in here. And to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Verse 25, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. How many know what 64 is? They don't use that term very much anymore. Lincoln used it in his address, Gettysburg Address. It's 20 years, 3 20-year periods. All right? So that's 62 weeks. 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. And the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. Verse 27, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Who's the he he's talking about? Says the people of the prince that shall come. That's the he that shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. There's a lot of words in there. A lot of words in there. If you've been coming to our end times class, you'd understand all those words. But I'm going to do my best. I think this is important. I think we need to understand. This will help us understand the times that we're in, why the church is here, Why are you here? Why are you and me here? Why are you born again? Why do you consider yourself a Christian? What's the purpose in it? What's the history of it? That's what we're going to talk about here. I don't have time to break it all down in detail. I'm going to hit the highlights to give you an understanding. But Daniel's talking about 70 weeks of years. Now, I could go back and we could go through Scripture and we could show you all this. You're just going to have to take my word for it right now, or you can study it out for yourself. Daniel's talking about 70 weeks of years, or 70 sevens. How many days are in a week? Seven. 70 sevens. Or, for those of you good at math, how many years is that? 490. Steve, you get the ding, 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 ding. Did you calculate that, or did you just know it?
I know.
Okay. 490 years has been determined for Israel to finish. That's an important word. To finish the transgressions of Israel and put an end to sin. For Israel, not for the church. You got to think of them, us as two. I know we just read Scripture that says we're both twain, right? But for this purpose, you have to think of Israel and you have to think of the church. Okay? Lord, I hope this is making sense. But God's love was so great that something happened that paused God's time clock. You see, we just read it in Daniel. 490 years had been decreed, had been determined upon Israel because of their transgression of the law. Okay? God's chosen people moving right along, transgressed the law. Well, because of the covenant, there was a price to pay. And he said, all right, 490 years are determined against Israel to make amends, basically. Okay? So what started the time clock? We just read it. From the decree that went forth to rebuild Jerusalem. Nebuchadnezzar had come in, sacked Jerusalem, took the Hebrew children into captivity, right? 490 years. So his clock started when that decree went out. I need two volunteers. Two volunteers. Dusty, you're so accommodating. Thank you very much for volunteering like that. I saw that hand go up. I saw that hand go. And you know what? To make you feel more comfortable, let's get your son to come up here with you. You don't have to speak. You don't have to do nothing. You just got to be standing up here and just look pretty for a minute. Y'all come side by side, right here. Side by side. All right, let's see. Who? Dusty, you're the eldest. You could be Israel. All right. Tony, you're going to be the church. All right. This is my example of how this time clock works, okay? So, Dusty, put your arms are going to be the hands of the clock, all right? Put it at 12 o'clock.
Oh, you're in trouble.
12 o'clock. All right, and you get to rest for a minute. So when the decree went out, 490 years, and we'll assume that this 12-hour period is the completion of that 490 years, okay? So when I say go, you start tick-tocking. And you go all the way around until I say stop, all right? So 490 years, the decree went out. Go. So it's going around, it's moving around, and the time is going on, and stop. Something happened. God had to pause this time clock, Israel being the time clock. If he hadn't paused it at the end of the 490 years, it would have wrapped up everything. But God's love was so immense for all mankind that he wanted more than just his chosen people to participate. And in comes the church. Tony, you're the church. 12 o'clock. So this time gets paused right here. And this is just, I didn't go, but this is 62 plus 7 weeks of years, or 69 weeks, or 483 years, and time stopped for the clock of Israel. And then in steps the church. And the church goes, keeps tick-tocking, and all the way up to 12 for 2,000 years, and bam, the church completes their time, and then tick, 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 bam, 12 o'clock, and all is complete. So that's the visual. All right, y'all can sit down. That's the visual. Israel, God's time clock. 490 years had been determined against Israel. So the time started when they decreed to rebuild, right? And it went along, and then it said what? It said until Messiah was cut off at the crucifixion. When Jesus was crucified, the Messiah was crucified, the time clock paused. And what happened when Jesus was crucified? What was that the start of? The day of Pentecost. What was born? We were the church. We were born. That time paused. Israel's time paused. The church age kicked in. That dispensation of grace that we just read about kicked in. And we are still in the church period. But let me tell you, I mean, we are about, you know, like right there before the church age wraps up. We are so close. We are so close. Why did God do this? Why did he have this pause? And this was all planned ahead. Why did he have that pause? Because of his immense love for mankind, that not one should perish. Not just the lineage of the Hebrews, but not one should perish. The Jews and the Gentiles together. We're getting ready to wrap up this church period. This church age, if you will. And then there'll be, if you couldn't tell by Dusty's angle of his arms, there's a 7-year period left in there. It's called the tribulation period. Anybody heard about that? The tribulation period that has been set aside for Israel. And that's going to be a time of great, tremendous distress in the earth. But we know, I hope you're encouraged by, that if you are a member of the church, if you are born again, begotten of God through Jesus Christ and His blood, you are going to be raptured. You're going to be caught up. And we're going to meet Jesus in the air. And we're going to go to a wedding feast for 7 years while all that tribulation and that turmoil is happening down on earth. We, the born-again believers, the church, will be enjoying 7 years with Jesus. And then we're all going to come back together with Him at the end of that 7-year period. We're going to meet all of our brothers and sisters that we didn't know before that got born again during the tribulation period. And we're going to rule and reign in the earth for 1,000 years. Isn't that exciting? Amen. He made a way for us Gentiles to participate with the Jewish nation in the blessing of Abraham. How many know the blessing of Abraham was before the law? Before the law. So he paused the time clock at 483 years when Jesus was cut off or crucified and started a new clock that ushered in the church age. Or we could say the dispensation of grace, like we just read in Ephesians 3:2. The mystery of the church. This was the mystery that he was talking about. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, in verses 7 and 8, you don't have to turn there, I'll just read them. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Had the prince of the power of the air, Satan himself, known that the death of Jesus would usher in a dispensation of utter destruction for him, a glorious time, he would not have seen him killed. He wouldn't have done it. Why? Because the early church was about the Father's business, upholding the ministry of Jesus and destroying the works of the enemy everywhere they went. There were a bunch of little Christs running around, How many know it started with the 120 in the upper room, the day of Pentecost? And then that, within that short time frame, was it say 3,000 more were added? Can you imagine Satan going, oh my gosh, what have I done? I was just dealing with one man. Now I've got 3,120 to deal with. And they were all walking in that operation of the ministry of Jesus, destroying the works of the devil everywhere they went. Wow. The mystery of the church. Followers of the way. Little Christ. Running around everywhere, beating up the devil. Isn't that a good picture? God's intense love for mankind, giving the Jewish nation time after time after time to repent. And when they wouldn't, he gave an open door for us Gentiles. An open door. And even yet, his immense love, when we're called up on that day of rapture, which no man knows, but we should know the season. We should know the times. We should understand the signs. I'm telling you, I think we're in that season. If you look at the signs, if you look at everything that's happening around, everything that's been fulfilled, we are in that season. Nobody's foolish enough to predict a day, but we are in that season when the rapture could happen at any time. It could happen tomorrow. It could happen 10 years from now. I don't know, but it can happen at any time. We're in that season. But his immense love, he reserved those 7 years to turn Israel back to him. Those 7 years, they are going to recognize, we just talked about this last Wednesday, they are going to recognize through supernatural signs that occur, they're undoubtedly that it's God that is doing these, is performing these signs in the earth. And they're going to come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. There's a lot that goes on with that. We could talk about the 144,000 Jewish or Hebrew virgin priests that are going to be evangelizing the earth during those 7 years. They're going to be getting Jews and Gentiles born again even during that 7 year period. And even if it talks about people being martyred during that period. But guess what? Even though they are born again during that 7 years, they're not going to be able to enjoy that 7 year wedding feast with us, the church, the raptured saints. It talks about them. Talks about them waiting, having to wait. Talks about them under the altar. They said they're crying out. He says, no, you have to wait. You have to wait. Why do I talk about all this? I think, who made that statement, and I'm going to paraphrase it, but if you don't know your history, you're bound to, I don't know. That probably is not the right one. We need to know history. We need to understand, why is the church here in the earth? Why are we here? How did we get here? It was a plan all along. And we've seen that plan unfold. And Daniel gives us insight into that plan. So why do we need to know this? Because you need to know that time is wrapping up. As we know it, time is wrapping up. And it's important to understand that. And if anything, hopefully it creates an urgency in you to preach the good news. Preach the good news. And hopefully it creates a desire in you to be about the Father's business, to be destroying the works of the enemy in your life. And others' lives around you. That's why it's important. His immense love. It was all about love. God's love for mankind. God's love for His creation. God's love for us that He sent Jesus to the cross. And that is His grace. We have peace with God through our faith in Jesus. Peace with God through our faith in Jesus. And knowing that all Israel will be saved as well. And that's good news. That is good news, church. So we talk about all the time, you know, going deeper with God, finding your purpose. It can really be summed up. Your purpose is to preach the good news, and that takes many different forms. That doesn't mean you stand in a pulpit and preach. That doesn't mean you stand on a street corner and preach. Sometimes you just live your life, and people see that. I'm telling you, if you live your life for God, people will stand up and take notice. If you live your life for God, if you seek first the kingdom, people will notice that there is something different about you. And then I believe as you expect open doors, opportunity will come. They'll approach you. They'll ask you. They'll want to know. What is different about you? Why can you have peace amongst all the turmoil that I see going on in your life? How can you have peace in this time? They'll see it on you. They'll see it in your countenance. How can you be at peace? When I know what's going on in your life, how can you be at peace? Well, this is why. The good news. Jesus came to destroy the works of the enemy. Destroy the works of the devil. I think I read it last week, but I think it bears repeating. And I read it out of Luke. I want to read it out of Isaiah this time. Isaiah 61. And we'll wrap it up with this. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, and oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. Talking about the Messiah. But really, talking about us as well. If we are to be little Christs in this earth, we are to be doing the same thing. That same anointing that was on Jesus can be on us. Is on us. We need to walk in that anointing. Walk in that anointing and become trees of righteousness. Right, Mike? Planted. If you went to the men's meeting, we learned about trees. More than just trees. Trees of righteousness. The planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. And you know what? I just saw this, maybe even for the first time. I've read it many times. Verse 2 says, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. That day of vengeance, we learned this on Wednesday night, that's talking about that tribulation period. We're to be proclaiming, hey, there's a day coming that if you're not born again, you may have to go through it. I don't want you to. I don't want you to. proclaiming that day. Amen? I don't know. I know this was different, church. Again, I endeavor to listen and be obedient. I'm hoping that this helps someone. Even if all you can remember is Dusty and Tony's face standing up there with their arms in the air, and it bring back a memory of something that was said. One word, there you go. One word. Sometimes it helps to have a visual, to associate a word with a visual. So I believe as you go forth this week, something is going to happen and you're going to recall their faces, and it's going to cause you to, it's going to quicken you to one word or something that was said that's going to allow you to walk in that anointing in that moment to change a life, change your life maybe. Maybe. Amen?